I'm correspondent Tom Wilmer reporting from Blacksburg, Virginia. Come along and join me for a conversation with Scott Douglas, the director at Hahn Gardens on Virginia Tech's campus. Douglas shares the history and an overview of the 6 acres of teaching and display gardens on the campus of Virginia Tech. Highlights include perennial borders, water gardens, shade gardens, a koi pond, a meadow garden, and the Peggy Lee Hahn Garden Pavilion. Come along and join Scott Douglas.
My name is Scott Douglas. I'm the director of the Hahn Horticulture Garden on the campus of Virginia Tech.
And right now we're at the mothership. Beautiful building.
Thank you. Yeah. So we're sitting inside the Peggy Lee Hahn Garden Pavilion. It's a space that we use for rentals. We have a small prep kitchen, and our offices are here as well.
Let's go back in time. How did this center start?
So the garden started in 1984. It was created by 3 faculty members and the department chair of the horticulture department. Before it became an ornamental garden, it was a test garden with rows of beds of flowers where they were testing different cultivars and things like that. And then it evolved into this ornamental garden that has now grown to cover 6 acres here on campus.
And as you've reached the parameter of your acreage?
We pretty much don't have any room to expand at this point. We're kind of landlocked with other buildings and things, yes.
Greenhouses behind us, do they predate the gardens?
So some of the greenhouses were here before the garden, and some of them were added after, but some of them were here.
In your background, you're a landscape architect?
Correct. So my background is in landscape architecture, and I have a degree from the University of Georgia and the University of Illinois.
And you started out working on projects, right?
I did. I worked as a landscape architect for 15 years, designing everything from greenways to high-end residential projects to apartment complexes and things like that.
So this is a major shift and change for you, isn't it?
It's a huge change. As I was saying earlier, I never would have told you this is what I'd be doing now, right, like 20 years ago.
But it's kind of a comfortable landing zone for you, isn't it?
It is. It's a great mix of being here in the garden and working in the garden and also teaching and working with students.
Mm-hmm. Any kind of surprises of yourself, things that you learned or applied in the field on projects that you've embedded here?
For sure. So I have a background in doing a lot of construction documentation. So a lot of the things we've built here in the garden, I've been able to kind of design and work through with our staff how it's going to be built and what it's going to look like.
And how about just kind of that visual vision, you know? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I've actually created a drawing and a document for like a long-range plan for the garden, creating new spaces in the garden and working through how we'll better serve the community, how we'll better work as a rental facility and things like that.
Mm-hmm. That being said, it's a nonprofit, so you're constantly seeking funding to fund the operation.
Correct.
And so it sounds like weddings and those sort of venues are real invaluable to you.
Correct. Yeah. So I basically explain to people that we're a small business operating underneath the university umbrella. We are pretty much self-funded. So weddings and birthday parties and tailgates and things like that bring in over half of our operating budget every year.
And then since, like you just alluded, you're a part of the university, so it's a teaching field laboratory in a lot of respects, right?
Correct. So there's a lot of classes out here, and then we do a lot of hands-on stuff either with student employees or with the classes that we teach here in the garden.
Give us some examples, some of the projects they work on and do, because it's a whole field, right, from physical infrastructure to plantings and replantings.
Correct. Yeah, the students will help with everything. So in the classes, we'll teach them everything from planting plants, either bulbs or actual trees and shrubs, transplanting things. Last week, we moved a 36-inch diameter boxwood, which required a lot of effort to dig that whole root ball out for that big shrub. We'll build stuff with them. There's a class right now that's building a small retaining wall to level off an area.
Is that construction tech that's doing that?
So it's a class called, we have an ag tech program. It's like a 2-year certificate program. And so it's the hardscape construction class for that department. And so they're actually working with their faculty member who is well versed in construction, and he's showing them how to do it. And so now these students will actually be able to build a wall.
And they source the concrete blocks and whatnot.
Yeah, so we're working with a local concrete supplier, Chandler Concrete, here in town, and they've worked with us on providing block.
Talk to us about some of the little micro spaces that you have here, the pond and whatnot, down in the meadow. It's really cool diversity on such a small plot of land.
Yes, so we have 6 acres, but it is divided up into a bunch of little areas. Our meadow garden's a great collection of perennials, and which are cultivars of natives or their native variations of those plants. We have a vegetable garden where we're growing vegetables every year. We have an annual display where we change up every year with different annuals. We have conifer collection of evergreens. We have shade plants. We have sun plants. We've got a little bit of everything.
Have you encountered any fascinating surprises?
Surprises? Yeah. Interacting with the public, I think, has been the biggest surprise in this position as far as, yeah, so we joke sometimes that it's a public garden, heavy on the public, light on the garden, because just interacting with people and, you know, sometimes you'll run into somebody and spend 30 minutes talking to them about things that you wouldn't have thought you'd be talking with somebody about, or you'll catch people doing things in the garden that might be a little questionable and you have to politely ask them not to do that anymore.
And this is a great attractant for students and faculty. Just come and relax and hang out and do their homework, right?
For sure, yeah. So we have university Wi-Fi throughout the garden, so we do get students here doing work. Sometimes they'll just bring their hammock and hang it on a hammock stand or sit on one of the benches. Lunchtime's usually when visitation starts picking up and people may bring their lunches and sit on a bench and eat lunch and then go back to their job or back to class.
And so year-round, there's something happening here in the gardens.
Correct. Right? It never slows down. You know, a lot of the flowers may die back in the wintertime, but it's still beautiful, and especially after a snow in the wintertime, it's a great place to come by. I think the garden's one of the prettiest places on campus and in Blacksburg, so if anybody's in the general area, they should come by and check it out.
Do you think it's a secret in some respects that a lot of people don't even know it's here?
It is. I run into community members all the time who have lived in town for 20 years and don't know this exists. And the same thing with some of the students. If they're an engineering student and they're located on the other side of campus, they may not get over to this side of campus. So it is still a hidden gem for sure. This patio space is used for events. A lot of times weddings and stuff will do like the cocktail hour here. So we have a lawn where they'll do their ceremony and then the reception's over there. And a lot of times they'll do the cocktail hour here. The sun sets over that way, so this is very sunny. And we actually moved these four red maples from another part of the garden. We had a company come in with a tree spade and actually dig those trees about 3 years ago and move them over here in order to get some shade over here. And it's made this space just so much better now that it has a little bit of shade in the afternoon. So we have a collection of raised beds, and so we'll be growing everything from squash to tomatoes, lettuce, beans, just about any kind of vegetable. Another thing we try to do with students is get students engaged in building stuff in the garden. So all the beds here were actually built by students. We got some funding from the local Master Gardener chapter, and they provided the funding and the students built them. A hardscape class built that sidewalk there, which will eventually tie into another sidewalk. A hardscape class is actually building a retaining wall right here, right now. We're inside that fenced-in area. And when that's done, that's the area that's going to be leveled off for our new boxwood garden. Great for us because we can build things cheaper because we're paying for materials. Sometimes the materials are donated and the students are learning how to build stuff and we're getting a wall out of it. So we have koi that are like almost 2 feet long, and then we have little bitty babies. So there is some reproducing going on. There's also some that almost look like they're a hybrid between a koi and a goldfish because they kind of like have the shape of a koi, but then they have the very fins as some of the more ornamental goldfish. We're assuming some of those ornamental goldfish came from students dumping their pet. But then like that patio area and the walkway, that was all built by a student group a couple years ago. There used to be a deck that came out over the pond. We were just going to do a paved walkway to it, and then we started digging around it. We realized the posts supporting the deck were rotten, so we just ripped it out, and we're like, well, let's do a patio and get you down closer to the water. And people love sitting on those big stones there right on the edge of the water and just watching the fish swim around there. It's created a cool little spot there. But that's definitely by far the most popular bench. If somebody's in the garden, they'll probably be sitting there if they can.
To learn more about your world, do you have a go-to website?
Yeah, they can go to the garden website. They can also follow us on Instagram. The garden website is hongarden.vt.edu, or you can find us on Instagram at vtgarden. And my name is Scott Douglas.
Thank you, Scott. This has been a great morning. Love it.
Thank you.
I'm your host, Tom Wilmer, reporting from Virginia Tech, Blacksburg, Virginia. We'll see you here.
You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas award-winning travel show Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a featured podcast on NPR.org's podcast directory. You are invited to subscribe to Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer on NPR.org, iTunes, and more than 20 other podcast channels around the world. To learn more about Tom Wilmer's journeys around America and the world, log on to thomaswilmer.com.
This is Roseanne Cash, and I'm sitting here with Tom Wilmer. Please support your local NPR station. I listen to WNYC in New York. In fact, NPR is all I listen to. If I didn't have NPR, I would feel like my lifeline to the world has been cut. So, yes, please support your local NPR station.
World Bicycle Relief partners with communities to deliver specially designed, locally assembled, rugged bicycles for people in need. Nearly 1 billion people in rural regions of the world live in communities far from the nearest paved road, walking miles every day just to survive. Distance is a barrier to attending school, receiving health care, delivering goods to market, and other critical services needed to thrive. Find out how you can help deliver rugged, dependable, life-changing bicycles to deserving communities. Log on to worldbicyclerelief.org to learn more. Thank you.